When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Last one for you, Joe Mixon. Did the league fine you for flipping a coin on the field?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They did.
Okay. How much was the fine, if you don't mind me asking?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
13 racks or something like that.
13 racks.
I probably had the most shiniest quarter you can pull out.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Still to come, Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert. Los Angeles Dodgers radio announcer Charlie Steiner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, can confirm. There I am, right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, the RokuChannel.com, the Roku app, select Samsung smart TVs. We are free on Amazon Fire TV. There are so many different ways for you to be part of our world every single day watching us. And we're here on channel 210 on the Roku channel, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard me, was free. We're also on terrestrial radio and Sirius XM and Odyssey. And there's our podcast. There's also our YouTube page. There's the Rich Eisen Show Collection, which is a video on demand service, part of our Roku channel experience. All of us together. We're here. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We just hung up with Louis Riddick of ESPN. My old ESPN colleague, Charlie Steiner, will be here in hour number three. We'll stroll down memory lane with him. Lots of fun. But we kick off hour number two by completing the quartet. We had Juju Smith-Schuster of the Chiefs and Joe Mixon of the Bengals. That's the AFC Championship game. And earlier this week, we had Fred Warner, the San Francisco 49ers. I'm like, I got to have a Philadelphia Eagle to just balance it all out. And this man is kind enough to say, I will balance it out. I will do that, as he does for the offense. No doubt about it. One of the best tight ends in the business, Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Dallas?
I've been good. How about you?
I'm good. How fired up are you? Walk me through how
fired
you are.
Oh, man, it's a dream come true. The whole team, we're really excited for this game. It's looking forward to a loud stadium at the Link.
Well, unfortunately, you just don't have a coach that matches that intensity. Hold on a minute. I'm told I'm completely wrong. He's exactly that. Can you tell me how Nick Sirianni is leading these troops? You got a good story for me about how you're plugged into what he's selling here at Dallas?
Yeah, our coach, he's one of the most competitive guys in the entire room, and that's saying a lot with a group full of NFL players, but he just goes to show it every day on the field, yelling at the refs, yelling at the opposing coaches, opposing players. He talks smack too, so he's not really afraid of anything. He's a fierce competitor, and he's a fun guy to be coached by because, he just cares so much about the game, cares so much about winning, and brings the competitive nature out in all of us.
Have you ever, I guess, kind of role reversed where you tell the coach he needs to calm down? Has that ever happened, Dallas?
No, I definitely feed off of his energy. When I see him getting fired up on the sideline, I'm right there. I'm going to back him up every time. If I see something, I see him talking to the ref, I'm the first one over there going to give my 2 cents right there with him.
So wait a minute. So he's barking at some of the defenders that are trying to put you on the ground? Is that what he's doing?
There's been times where, say someone does a late hit out of bounds on Jalen, or sometimes if we get a dirty hit, he might not say it right to their face, but he's yelling at them across the field, which is, I think it's awesome. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of.
That happened in the preseason, right? Against the Jets. That I remember. He did that.
Yeah, the one against the Jets, that was a big one. I think he was yelling a little bit at the player, a little bit at the opposing coach. But anytime you have a coach like that, that's fiery, that cares that much. It just makes us all play a little bit harder.
And let's talk about your quarterback a little bit, Dallas Goedert, because I we first had Jalen Hurts on this program before the draft, and I said, what's a team going to get if they draft you? He says, they're going to get this dog. That's what they're going to get. They're going to get a dog who's going to come there and just lead and just, put it all out on the line. And he's been exactly that for Philadelphia. Can you tell me, what was he? Was he like that the first minute that he walked into the building, Dallas?
Absolutely. You know, obviously he wasn't the starting quarterback. Right. He came to be a backup. But the second he walked into the locker room, you know, all heads kind of swung towards him. He's got a gravitational pull around him, a tremendous leader, his worth ethic. Yeah, I just remember in training camp, like, him making plays, and it's like, oh, my gosh, who is this dude? Like, how did we get him where we got him, and what are we going to do with him? Because, you know, you could see right away that he was going to be a special player in this league.
Can you put more of maybe a story to the gravitational pull? You got an example? I know what you mean.
Yeah, so
you know, but...
it would just be, you know, at the time we had a lot of younger receivers in his class. I think we drafted three receivers, and, you know, even though a lot of those receivers were playing with the number ones, it seemed like every time in routes on air, different throwing things, that they would tend to go with Jalen over Carson, and it was just, you know, a little bit of they were the same age, but they were just drawn towards him with the swagger that he has, the confidence that he has at all times. Even being a backup, it seemed like he was on his way to be the starter the whole time.
Yeah, I just love his story, and I love what he's become, and I just love what he like. I think you guys, in the same way that you mentioned how Sirianni kind of stirs the pot, he seems to be somebody that you just follow. What's it like in the huddle with him for a big play?
Man, I mean, playing with Jalen just makes everybody's job easier. I mean, in the huddle, you know, I've never met someone so poised, so calm, so cool, collected. It doesn't matter if we're up 21, down 21, it's, you know, F it, we're going to win this game. And, you know, he'll look at you at some point in the game, be like, I'm coming to you, make a play. Or, you know, he'll look in the huddle and be like, man, get this block because I'm going to take off right here. You know, he's just so smart. He knows what the defense is going to do before they do it. And, you know, his anticipation for things, what he expects and what he sees is always the same. And, you know, probably the biggest thing is just how calm and cool and collected he is no matter the situation, sitting on the sidelines, just stone-faced, ready for the next opportunity. And, you know, he always says it. You know, we haven't accomplished anything. He started saying it when we were 8-0, and when we won the division, he said the same thing. Like, enjoy y'all hats and shirts. I got more to do. So he's never content with where he's at. He's always looking to climb, get better and better. And you know, he wants to be at the top for a long time.
I imagine if he looks at you, Dallas Goedert, saying, "Get that block because I'm about to take off," and you break the huddle, that's all you're thinking about is, "I better get this block because you know he's there for you." You want to be there for them and don't want to disappoint them. I imagine that is that the mindset when you break the huddle after he says something like that to you? You
know? Oh, always. Yeah, you know, anything the quarterback says, that's the first thing I do. You know, he's got all the power in the offense. He's the one that throws me the ball. So if he tells me to block someone because he's running, I'm going to try to get him out of the way and make sure Jalen doesn't get touched. And, you know, that's my main goal, making sure he stays healthy, do whatever I can to make his job easier.
Dallas Goedert here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you just showed up, if I'm not mistaken, just after the afterglow of the championship, right, Dallas, when you just got there in Philadelphia?
Yep. I was drafted the year after the Super Bowl.
So what would this mean for you to make the stamp yourself here for you?
I mean, it would mean everything. This has been a dream of mine since the first time I played a Madden franchise. I don't know if it was 06, and I won the Super Bowl, saw the confetti fly on the screen, and I said, I need to get one of those in real life. So it's been a dream of mine, and to be as close as we are, it's super exciting. And, you know, being able to be here and how much it meant to the city the year after the first Super Bowl, you know, it's what Philly lives for. So, if I can be a part of bringing another one to Philadelphia, it would be incredibly special.
Well, I am mandated to ask, even though the answer may damage some of your fans, and I know your name is what it is because your father roots or used to for the team. Did you win the championship in Madden for the Cowboys, Dallas?
It wasn't the Cowboys.
Okay.
You know, I learned young to not be a Cowboys fan. Huh. It was actually the Packers, but I stopped liking them too.
Okay, so you won it with Rodgers? Is that who you won it with as a kid? Is that who you
yep.
are, Madden? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
He took it all the way for me.
But you, but if your dad calls you Dallas because of his fandom for the Cowboys, how did you not grow up a Cowboy fan, Dallas?
Well, you know, my stepdad was a Packers fan, and at the time, my girlfriend or my sister's boyfriend was a Packers fan as well. So I just kind of slowly transitioned from a young Cowboys fan to going to the Packers. And where I'm from, all my friends were Vikings fans, so we had two matchups, Packers versus Vikings, that I could talk crap with all my friends about when the Packers would win.
I love it. Dallas Goedert here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I hear what you're saying when you say what you say, Dallas. And did I hear that you said that you think you should be considered in the conversation of the Kittles and the Kelseys of Championship Weekend and everybody else who is considered an elite tight end in this business, even though you might consider yourself a wide receiver? Did I pick up everything that you put down in some of your comments?
Yeah, to an extent. I definitely feel like I should be in that conversation of the top tight ends, but you know, to be honest, I felt like ever since I got into the league, I felt like I should be up there. Mm-hmm. But that's just the confidence I have in myself, and probably the same confidence that a lot of the other tight ends have around the league. But, you know, for me, I just really care about what the people in this building and my teammates think about me. So every day I step out there, I'm doing it for those guys. You know, and if you get the credit you think you deserve, it's great. But if you don't, you know, I know the people in this building think very highly of me, and that's all I really care about.
One way to do it is to hoist the Halas Trophy and then go to Arizona and play in Super Bowl 57. That's one way to work it.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So, I mean, what's it going to be like for you in that locker room Sunday in Philadelphia? Your uniform's on, ready to go. Walk me through what that's going to be like for you, Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, it's going to be obviously building up to it. There's a lot of nerves, a lot of excitement, you know, a lot of mixed emotions. As soon as you get those pads on, it just continue to build up those same nerves until, you know, we get on the field. I always hope we lose the coin toss so we can take the ball, just so I can get out there and feel a thud, and then all your emotions go away and you just are able to start playing football. But it's going to be rocking in there. It's going to be loud. It's obviously the biggest game I've ever played in my career, so I'm just going to take it all in and soak it up. And then when the whistle blows and it's kickoff time, I'll lock in and do everything I can to help my team win the game.
Well, you know, the coach defers. It's nothing personal. He just wants the ball in the second half so you could score on each side of halftime, maybe flip a script if you need to, or maybe end the game if you can and give you an opportunity to get the ball second, you know? I mean,
yeah, without
personal.
A doubt. You know, I get statistics about taking the ball at second half and deferring in the first half and stuff. But you know, me personally, I like getting that ball, go score that first touchdown, and put the pressure on the other team.
And the thud may be you chipping Bosa, right? You want a piece of that, right, Dallas? Correct.
Yep. Looking forward to that matchup. Obviously, you know, they got a lot of great players on the 49ers defense, but you wouldn't want it any other way. You know, you want to play the best. If you're going to be the best, you have to beat the best. So it's going to be a great matchup of two great defenses, two great offenses. It should be a really fun day.
I will be looking forward to it. Dallas, I don't have a scepter like my colleague on Good Morning Football and Kyle Brandt, but I have a mug. Do you want a coffee mug? You know,
be great. As long as it's got Run Rich Run on there, I'll use it every morning.
I can make. I don't have. Think I have one of those.
We can get those made.
We can make it made. It says the Rich Eisen Show on it. Will that suffice?
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, it's me.
That
it's
works.
It's me running in my suit. I have. Are you a coffee drinker? Are you? Do you drink?
Oh,
coffee?
Every morning.
Done. There you go. It's coming your way, Dallas Goedert. Mm. A mug.
I love it. I appreciate it.
I will send it to Philadelphia. You know, it's not as cool with the photograph that I saw of you with the scepter, but if you just hold it up, that's fine. Or don't just drink. That's all I care. Just
yeah, I can make it work.
Okay, man.
Coffee's is always hot. You know, it'll be a good pitcher.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. Good luck on Sunday, and maybe I'll see you in Arizona.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right back at you. Thank you. That's Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm ready to go. I don't know why that conversation got me, because we're close. Is that what it is? 72 hours?
We're getting close.
What do you think?
It's Thursday.
This it?
The chatter's starting.
And I just like his attitude. Yeah, I'll chip Nick Bosa. Let's go. If that's the thud, if that's the first thud I feel in the game.
He's a baller, man. from North Dakota.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of his friends are Vikings.
Right. Is he north or south?
North.
North.
He's from Havana, North Dakota.
Are you sure? I got him born in South Dakota. Oh, he went to high school in South Dakota. I think he's South Dakota. That's where he went to college.
South Dakota State, born in North Dakota.
Okay. All right. You sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Google has him born in South Dakota, Aberdeen.
But I think he went to high school maybe you're right.
Look, I don't know. Yeah, you know where he's from?
Dakota.
That's where he's from.
It's probably like 18 miles separating the two.
It's not too far.
You know, right? True, you're right.
Bottom line is this.
Takes longer to get to Tarzana from where we are.
He's tall. He's got a beard. And he's like, if I got to chip Nick Bosa, I'll do it.
I don't think that's something you're looking forward to doing, though.
Hey, I like it. I like his style. And I like the fact he's a little kid rooting for the Packers. Playing Madden, seeing the confetti down on the screen. He's like, I want that in real life. And he can do it. He's two wins away. He's one win away from having it for a conference championship, putting the Philadelphia Eagles back in the Super Bowl. Holy cow. When we come back, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preview for you the quarterback matchups and what it means.
Oh,
okay. What's at stake here.
All right.
I cannot wait.
Legacy talk?
No, there's no legacy talk. There's no legacy talk. There is no legacy talk. But... I'm looking forward to one of the matchups, as we all know, is the one that we're talking about the least. 844-204-RICH, number to dial as well. Charlie Steiner's coming up, everyone. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just simply stop by. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Richard in Tucson, Arizona, first in, first up. What's up, Richard?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. It's a great show.
Thanks, pal.
When you started the show, you started talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And, possibility going to the Jets. And you brought up the point of, he's come from a real, shall we say, a media soft environment in Green Bay, going into the jaws of the media of New York, and how will they deal with that? And it reminded me, and I'm a cheesehead back to Lombardi, but I also live in Arizona, and I got the opportunity to see Randy Johnson during his heyday for the Diamondbacks. And same thing, peak of his career, first ballot Hall of Famers, and wanted to go to a bigger market. And when he went to New York, and he didn't throw the games that he was accustomed to throwing, he didn't get a pass in New York. It was pretty brutal. And they dogged him like New York City media. And he didn't last. I don't think he lasted a couple years, and he came back to the South.
Look, I hear you. We can come up with numerous athletes who went to New York and and their Hall of Fame resumes didn't that preceded them didn't matter. And then when they did not perform up to that Hall of Fame resume, got run out of town. I mean, there's no question about it. That said, it's the flip side, is that if it does work there, then what a career capstone it can be. And I appreciate what you said about the show, Richard. Thank you. And you know, giving your two cents. And again, the Green Bay Packers are a franchise that with an international presence and a fan base that is all over the world, and they love their quarterbacks, and they're lucky to have had Favre into Rodgers. Honestly, give me another franchise that took the baton from one first ballot Hall of Famer who was there for a decade and a half and then handed it off to another. I don't think there's another one. I mean, Montana to Young, but that didn't last over the span of three decades. You know?
We all thought Andrew Luck was going to be that guy.
I don't know.
You know, then he was...
The only analogy that could be had is like Steelers coaches.
True.
That's truly the only analogy in this same neighborhood. To go from one Hall of Fame head coach to another, and you know how I feel about Tomlin, another Hall of Fame head coach to, I believe, when it's all said and done, another. And that has spanned my lifetime. I'm 53 years old, and Chuck Knoll's first season was the year I was born. The year of the birth also of the FedEx driver who dropped off a package and
is dead.
Told me I'm not that old. My birth year is that of his father's. That was great. But seriously, and so that love for Rodgers conquers pretty much all. And again, I know that I'm painting with a very broad brush. I do see criticism in Rodgers' direction from Green Bay, but it's not like the intensity of a thousand suns that normally lands upon anybody in the Northeast Corridor. I think that there's a reason why it didn't work for Favre in New York, many of them, and some of them are still there for Rodgers to potentially trip up. But Rodgers at age 39, he's going to be 39. He turned 39 in December. He will be 39 for week one of the 2023 season, and I look at that and I say, who cares? Brady's year is 39 to 41, Chris, right?
They were fantastic.
Amazing. Like, thank goodness somebody stepped in and said, we're trading Garoppolo instead of Brady, right? Back in that day.
Yeah, so 39 was the 2016 season. Suspended for the first four games because of, science. Got it. 11-1. They won the Super Bowl that year, perhaps you heard. 2017, Brady led the NFL in passing yards, was MVP, lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
At age 40.
2018, 11-5, Pro Bowl, won the Super Bowl.
He's an anomaly, though. You just can't say just because someone else gets the 39.
I think Rodgers is even more physically gifted than Brady. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, but
to the point where I've gotten back a lot of tweets from my Mahomes take earlier this week saying that Mahomes is Mahomes 1.0. He's not a 2.0 of anybody. Like, could be Elway. I got a lot of people that he's Rodgers 2.0, and that's not a bad comp, that he's Rodgers 2.0. Potentially even more physically gifted, potentially like bigger.
He's thicker.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so if you think that Rodgers is, and that has been some of the accolades, thrown his way, is most physically gifted quarterback since Elway or most physically gifted quarterback ever, and you're seeing Mahomes take that mantle, and Caleb Williams is going to have that thrown on him the minute he comes out of the draft. Mm-hmm. So if you think that about Rodgers, then why, if he doesn't follow the AR-12 system, which apparently does have some roots in the TB-12 system, why can't he do the same thing? Why can't he? If he's clearly saying he's taking care of his mind, he takes care of his body in the same way. Why can't he have ages 39, 40, and 41 similar to what we saw from Brady, surrounded by the right coaching and the right roster?
Oh, I know why. You just said it. Because Tom Brady also had Bill Belichick, and there ain't too many Bill Belichicks.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I'm just thinking that if anybody can replicate the success at age 40 and beyond, or come close to the same area code of that in a way that nobody else since turning 40 has ever been able to do. As we all know, Big Ben never hit 40 as a professional football player. Breeze hit 40 and was like he was struck by lightning.
Kaput. Yeah.
Right? Kaput.
Nice. Struck by lightning.
You know, so I think Rodgers can do it. The question is why would he take that shot at New York? Why would he do it?
Rich, because he's a competitor. Man.
Maybe. And this is part of it too, and I wouldn't blame him. It's just like, you know, my window is closing. Maybe I should go ahead and do what Brady did and find out what it's like to do it somewhere else. While I still can, while I still want to, while I still have the physical attributes to be as good. Why doesn't he try somewhere else? I get it.
And you know, Rich, winning a Super Bowl in New York greater than winning a Super Bowl anywhere else.
I don't know. Winning a Super Bowl in Green Bay is pretty damn amazing.
You just said it yourself. Media-wise, the attention you get.
Like, I'm biased.
You can be unbiased here or biased. Like, winning anything in New York City is bigger than winning anywhere else in this country. We all know that. So if this man wins a Super Bowl for the Jets, it would be
I can't even.
Think about that,
man. I was even thinking that the other day. Like, what would it be like for me to stroll into a Super Bowl stadium and see the words Jets in the end zone?
Namath said he'd let him wear 12.
That was wild, too, man. I mean, the owner's like, I'll spend for it, and Namath's like, he can have my number, and Saleh just hired his offensive coordinator.
I bet you Joe's got some old school mink still laying around and he'll pass there.
Saleh said today, he said today that this move is made to see what they have in Zach. Because I'll tell you this. I would prefer to do it that way than the give me the veteran for the 3-4 years, than the Bucks way.
Why?
Because it's not sustainable.
Who cares?
You got Who cares, man? You waited your whole life for Super Bowl, bro. Like, were you going to wait another 50 years?
Excuse me. Like, I have already unfettered myself from reality to talk about what would it be like to see a Jets name in the end zone. And I'm completely off the reservation into fantasy land and allowing myself the moment to do that. So I'm going to, while I'm living here, choose the manner in which I win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I prefer to do it the way the Bengals are doing it, because every Bengal fan is feeling the way every Chiefs fan has felt for the last 5 years, and it's feeling every Bills fan has been feeling, although ultimately not yet rewarded with a Super Bowl. They know this year, Bills fans, back in the day, you know, when they made it, didn't they make it 1 year with Tyrod Taylor, right?
Playoffs?
Yes, they made the playoffs. They played Jacksonville. It was a punt fest.
Was really bad.
I think
game.
That was the year that Nathaniel Hackett eventually coordinated his way into the AFC Championship game, if I'm not mistaken.
Really bad game.
So, Bills fans knew when they were out, they're like, when are we going to get back? Now, Bills fans, they just got bounced by Joe Burrow. They're like, okay, that sucked. You know, it would have been great to have done it this year. I really felt this was my year. But they can be rest assured that, you know, they're going to get back.
Yeah, I felt that way too once, Rich. That was 1996. Now it's 2023. Get the win while you can, Rich. You don't get no extra points for playing the long hand.
Yeah, but you got it for 3 out of 4 years. You had it for because you drafted and you got it right.
And it was great. But guess what? Like, that's been a long time. You don't want to keep waiting, man. You don't get any extra points for that.
I would rather them hire somebody and figure out the young quarterback. I just feel the narrative, Jets get Rodgers, wins the Super Bowl, believe it or not, is more believable than Jets hire the offensive coordinator for Zach Wilson being the guy that couldn't figure it out with the other Wilson as the HC, despite all the other Commissioner Goodell, you know, let Russ cook.
Broncos.
You know, Broncos country. That's let's
right,
ride.
That's right. That's right.
Who really wants to go to his birthday party? That sort of stuff.
I forgot about the birthday party.
Oh, forget the birthday party.
I forgot about that.
It was one of the best power rankings of my life.
Oh, man.
Top 10 quarterback birthday parties you'd want to go to.
That was a good one.
That was my power rankings there. But honestly, what's more believable? Jets trade for Rodgers. He comes in, runs the offense for Nathaniel Hackett to its ultimate capability. The Wilson we have and we ride is Garrett, not Zach. The defense balls out. Sauce doesn't have to put on a cheesehead after he beats Rodgers. He just has to put on a Jets AFC championship cap because Rodgers just helped him win it. For Robert Saleh, Jets see their name in the end zone. That's more believable than Zach Wilson's first 2 years were a total disaster. The only thing that's not a disaster is he wasn't, you know, hurt for a season. Even though the Bengals were able to come back from that one from Burrow's first year. But you know what I'm saying, that they salvaged Zach Wilson to the point where the fans are not booing every single skipped pass in weeks 1 through 6. They actually salvage him. Breece Hall comes back with Elijah Vera Tucker, and this offense blossoms under Nathaniel Hackett. And Zach Wilson does, in fact, pan out. They do pick up his fifth-year option because year three was so remarkably good. And they actually have a shot to win a Super Bowl in his first iteration of his contract. And they do make it that way repeatedly. And Wilson is the guy who fills that fourth seat next to Burrow and Allen and Mahomes. And we do see the Jets' name in the end zone. Which one is more believable to you? I know you're laughing and you're looking at me like I have three heads. Hey, so you'll go with Rodgers.
Quick question, man.
And I'll say I'd rather it be the other way, even though that sounds more fantastic than the first theory.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Thank you.
Question for you.
Excuse me. If this happens with Rodgers, we're drinking tea. We're not smoking anything, all right?
Yeah, you
Let's
are.
Get it straight.
Yeah, you are, dog.
But by your own logic, if you win it with Rodgers, you're not really going to be happy about it.
Oh, I'll be happy about it. I'm just saying I prefer it to be a way that is sustainable for a decade and a half. Like Bengals fans know if it doesn't work out in Burrowhead on Sunday, let's just try one more time next year. We'll be back. We're going to be good. We're going to be great. We're in this mix.
And the Bucks have a ring.
If the Chiefs lose this weekend, they know, okay, so Burrow has our number right now, but Brett Veach will figure it out the way he figured out the offensive line after we lost to the Bucks, the way he's figured out the secondary after we lost to the Bengals, that we'll just get it back. We got Mahomes. We got Reed. We're good. I'd love to be in that position. In the same way that the Eagles fans, if they lose this weekend, they'll be like, that was amazing. Of course, Hurts is the real deal. And we've got Howie Roseman who can figure this thing out and other draft choices. We'll be back. The Niners fans will be like, well, we've made 3 out of the last 4 conference championship games. And whoever Kyle chooses at quarterback will be fine. I want that. I don't want what the Bucks are going to be. Think about what the Bucks, like, yes, they are looking at the trophy in the case, and the last 3 years have been amazing. But at some point, it looks like that clock's about to strike midnight, and it's going to be like, okay, is it Derek Carr instead of Kyle Trask?
Like every team like is like that.
Yeah, his team just got lucky that they were able to stretch it out for two decades.
Not every team. Eventually, at some point, your team does have to have this reckoning. It doesn't have to be reckoning.
Would you rather have a trophy in the case while you go through that?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a preference. I am right now the most choosing beggar of all time. Leave me alone.
I just want to know who's directing that.
I am begging and choosing.
Who's directing that movie that you want to see?
I mean, I'm in a world of you know what right now. I'm like the private pile of NFL fans. Leave me alone.
Rich, I want to make you feel good though right now.
What do you got?
So looking ahead to the next year's Super Bowl futures.
Hey, oh, stop it.
Jets were 40-1 with the signing of Hackett, 30-1, 8th best odds.
These are the same schmohawks that went Bengals are underdogs. Now they're favored. Now they're underdogs based on just seeing somebody walk down 2 steps from a podium riser yesterday.
He did some high kicks. He did some high kicks yesterday. 30-1, 8th best odds.
Get on it, Chris.
Are you talking playoffs or what?
that means Rodgers is coming. Get it now before you sign Rodgers, and it's like 12-1.
So, yes, just to sum up this insanity, if Rodgers comes, I'm in. I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in. Are you kidding me?
You better be.
Are you kidding me? If he's talking Jets, I might download Joe Rogan's podcast for the first time.
Hey, now.
But at some point, though, you got to have something where I would like it to be sustainable. And by the way, you know, you found the young kid and rode him to Canton for 20 years. I want that. That's what I want.
Rich, you know what that was? That was a fluke.
No, it wasn't a fluke.
Yes, it was. He wasn't the number two pick. He had zero odds. Wasn't supposed to really make the team. When you draft a guy 199, he's like...
So your greatest sports times of your life is born out of a fluke?
I'll take it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I want that. That's what I want.
You know what a fluke? Take Rodgers, win a title, and then shut up and be happy.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I would be happy. I would be very happy. I'm just saying I want the young kid that you draft and then live with for 15 years and win
that sounds great.
Yeah. It happens like twice a generation.
No, it doesn't. It happened to Mahomes. It's happening in Cincinnati.
He's
it's happening
one.
Potentially in Buffalo. I know over the whole course of his career.
He might not win another one. Rodgers has one.
We thought Dan Marino was going to have a fistful of rings when he went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we were on the wrong end of his fake spike.
I'm just saying, yo. Look, think about it this way.
The Tampa Bay Bucks won
12 games in back-to-back seasons, and the next year they get Brady, they win the Super Bowl.
No matter what you say, there's no chance I'm not going to internalize it
and find the
negative in it.
Why, though?
And while I'm also in this never land of football fandom,
come on, we need
I'm choosing the long, sustainable kid. I want Hackett to figure out Zach. If you're telling me Hackett's going to figure out Zach, and I can then live with him for the next 12, 15 years as he wins championships, conference, and potentially the whole thing, I'm in on that more than let's go with Rodgers and roll the dice for 3 years.
Is he not listening?
I am listening. We're all saying the same thing.
Is Hackett going to be able to,
did you watch Zach Wilson play this year?
Of course I did.
Is Hackett going to know when to send the field goal unit out?
It's more realistic to see the Jets' name in the Super Bowl end zone because Rodgers comes more than the fact that Hackett's going to figure out Zach.
Focus all your energy on Rodgers, all right? Forget about Zach. It's over.
I just need some tea. And some moments with myself and Joshua Tree, and I'll come back and I'll be a different person.
I think we should do this team building in the offseason.
A Snickers bar and tea.
Vinny Chase and the boys did it.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's take a break.
Somebody call Eric Roberts on the phone.
Good Lord.
Let's get his RV.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Oh, yeah. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt. Certainly, if you are starting off your new year on a job hunt, make your next career football move, your next move in football and in life as one and the same. We're trying to tell you about the difference between the regular season and the postseason these days. It's the same thing about when you're trying to score your next job. It's a playoffs moment. You got to bring your A game, and you need Monster.com to do that. Millions of job openings, great coaching and career advice, so you can give a strong performance when it counts. You upload your resume to Monster.com. You're recruited potentially by employers before they even post their jobs. When you score the position, Monster.com has a salary calculator that ensures you're paid what you're worth. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com, people, and win the job hunt. Go to Monster.com. You come to us for your ankle coverage. And we don't take it for granted. Okay? We give everyone, and I understand we're going against a lot of talented professionals in this sports reporting business. We give you on the Rich Eisen Show the best ankle coverage there is. If somebody sprains their ankle, we're on it. All over it. Yesterday, we were right on brand. Patrick Mahomes spoke yesterday. He's standing behind a podium. He goes to his left to go to the door, and we were all over him, walking off the podium, stepping down those two steps. Was there a hitch in his giddy up? Was there not? We were all over it. Today, Mahomes spoke again. Mm-hmm. And we can confirm in our coverage, Mahomes' ankle is still attached to his body.
Oh, thank God.
So when he spoke, the ankle was there. Now then, here's Mahomes the day after, the first day he made a public appearance with his ankle. Roll it.
Yeah, I thought I had a good day yesterday. Obviously, it's things you had to work through here and there. But overall, probably better than I expected, being able to go out there and throw the football around and get the reps in that I needed to get in.
Is there a way to gauge like how much you're willing to, I don't know, cut loose is the right word, but how much yesterday you felt like just do what you normally do versus I got to watch it? I mean, how did you process that?
Yeah, you try to go as far as you can and do exactly what you normally do on a normal Wednesday practice. Luckily, Wednesday isn't the hardest practice of the week, so you kind of get through the motions and you're able to do some stuff and move here and there. Today will be another test. It's a little bit harder practice, a little bit more speed. But like I said, you're not going to be able to prepare yourself 100% for the game, but you can do the best you can of putting yourself in those positions, and then hopefully by the end of the week you're in an even a better spot that you can go out there and do what you need to do to win.
Full participant in practice, by the way. They didn't even call him limited. Full participant. He had the FP.
That's why the Chiefs are favored.
You know what? That makes his ankle a YP for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Nice.
When he's FP. If he's LP, that's an MP if you're the Chiefs. So my problem.
Who's the colonel in this scenario?
When he's FP, full practice, that's a YP for the Bengals.
Or a TP, their problem.
This is all part of the best ankle coverage in the business.
Get her out of here.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head more so than you know, because as someone who once tried out for a little league team called Central Podiatry, I got cut, didn't make it, but I tried out for them.
What?
And as my history of a Foot Locker employee, you know I know about like supination ankles. And pronation and how if your foot over supinates, it'll put undue pressure on your ankle.
Your little league team was sponsored by a local foot doctor?
Yeah, Central Podiatry.
Wait, and you had cuts? Doesn't everybody make it?
Well, the thing I didn't make, because I actually I tried out for this team, but it was out of my ward.
Oh.
So I had to go to another team.
I didn't like actually, Chico's bail bonds.
Yeah. Yes, I was
Central
Podiatry.
Right? Shout out. I don't even know if they're still around. But yeah, Rich, I can tell you like about supination and pronation.
You're all over the fucking ankle.
I got the Foot Locker shirt still in here, man.
ESPN's got Rex. We have you.
TJ's touched more ankles with shoes.
Honestly,
yeah. He knows an ankle.
I had no idea you were such an ankle foot.
Stare at you, tell you if you're a 10, a 9 and a half, an 11, a 13. What you need?
So Mahomes was asked about this whole new cottage industry of social media doctors and ankle specialists like us. I think he's talking about us.
Is he talking to us here? Maybe.
Roll it.
You've probably seen people are examining every step you take and the little bit of video out there. You aware of that? And what do you think of everyone, social media doctors trying to diagnose what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, no one knows unless they get to actually put their hands on it and see it. But all I can do is just prepare my body the best way possible. I mean, I've seen the videos and everything like that of me walking. I don't know what you can really get from me walking. I think people will see on Sunday where I'm at, and I'll see on Sunday where I'm at. I'm just going to prepare my body the best way during the week to be in the best position possible.
Boom.
So, as resident ankle expert of the Rich Eisen Show, I mean, are you our ankle specialist?
No,
I'm the shoulder, because as you know, I sprained my AC joint at the Pro Bowl one year. My right shoulder, I couldn't lift the mic. I had to go to my left hand the rest of the Pro Bowl. It was jarring, but I got through it.
TJ can be the foot guy.
I just gave you my full resume on being the foot and ankle specialist.
I'm the lower back guy.
Got it. Remember when I fell off, you heard the lower back. Yeah. So, but we just paged Dr. Brockman.
Well, I don't have any drops or anything, you know.
I think
we are on this story, and we can safely say he's fully confident.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
He strikes. He's fully confident. Yeah. We'll see how it goes Sunday. And
seems like he's gonna be.
I think he's gonna be fine. I think our expert opinion is gonna be fine. Do we have video of him walking off the podium today?
Oh.
I need that. I need that so we can split screen it with yesterday and see if there's any change in the hitch.
Yesterday, a little hitch.
Is he rolling on
a
baseball?
I don't think there was. I got to push back. TJ, what did you think? As a former, what were you, a left fielder for Central Podiatry?
I was a catcher.
You were a catcher?
Catcher and second baseman.
Wow.
You were the Engelbert of Central Podiatry?
I played catcher and second. I preferred second. Catcher was, you know, that's too hard on your knees even back then.
Central Podiatry.
I love it, TJ.
So, hold on a minute. This is great. Was there a Western and East Coast podiatry that you were in the middle of this podiatry feud?
It was a man who owned a business who was gracious enough to support a little league team. Why are you welcome?
We're making fun of it.
I do remember that the uniforms were like North Carolina blue, and there was like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Like
right here on the right breast. Yeah, like Kareem had kicked it like he did in Game of Death with Bruce Lee. If that was the movie he did. I can't remember.
All right, we're on it. It's what we're saying.
Shout out. If Central Podiatry is still in business, man.
Just look it up.
Yes. Kathy in Philadelphia, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kathy?
Kathy.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
We're having a great time.
Rich, I just want to say, with all due respect.
It's going to be so disrespectful.
You are out of your mind.
About what?
If you think every single member of Bills Mafia would not trade a Super Bowl win this year for the playoff possibility of the next decade. If you told us we would definitely win the Super Bowl this year and we would enter into another 20-year drought, most of us would sell.
See, no, you've twisted my words a little bit, Kathy, but that's on brand. It's on brand for you. So I said I would take either one, but if I preferred one over the other in this never land that I'm living in, I want to go with the quarterback. You know, the championships where the quarterback has a decade and a half, not just go for a quick fix that I know is going to have a shelf life. And now you've kind of flipped it on its head. Like, would a team that currently is in the world of having a decade to a decade and a half with a talented generation, talented quarterback that has yet to win a Super Bowl, would they pitch that guy for the quick fix? Now, that's a whole different conversation, Kathy, and thanks for the call. I got to jump because it's the end of the hour. That's a totally different conversation. Like, if you told the Bills you can have Rodgers now, would you pitch Josh Allen for Rodgers? Now, that is a different conversation.
No way.
And one, I must admit, much dumber.
Which makes
it perfect for sports talk radio sometimes. Charlie Steiner is about to join us. Let's work this out before Charlie walks out here,
because
he's better than this conversation.
Hold on.
We would be bringing him down to a level.
If I told Bills fans.
What if I told
Allen
you?
For Rodgers, straight up.
Yes.
You get Rodgers for three seasons.
Yes.
Guaranteed one Super Bowl. Would they do it?
Oh. Ask.
Well, if you're going to guarantee a Super Bowl, but yeah, why wouldn't you?
I don't think so. They love Josh Allen, and rightfully so. He's fantastic. He's
like,
perfect.
How are you guaranteeing this, by the way?
I have a magic wand, and I'm guaranteeing you win the Super Bowl.
Don't let me take out the crystal ball. This is the scenario that I'm proposing.
So you're going to abracadabra this within 3 years you're going to win the Super Bowl.
We're living in a hypothetical world. I'm saying it's Allen for Rodgers, straight up.
What a dumb conversation.
You get 3 years of Rodgers, guaranteed one Super Bowl. Would you do it?
Now, what's your guarantee with Allen?
No, you don't pitch Josh Allen, because you're going to win one with him, and you believe in him.
I don't think they are.
Yeah, they are. Come on. You say no to that. You say no. No. I want Josh Allen for another 10, 15 years. I love the guy. He loves us. Let's go.
What if there's no rings in that 10 to 15 years?
Oh, well, you run that risk, don't you?
I'm telling you, you're winning one.
Yeah, I mean, he is holding the one. I mean,
I'd rather talk about Mahomes' ankle.
It's fine.
It's oversupinating.
Did you hear him say that is he offering somebody to come put hands on his foot? Because there's somebody who would do it, I think.
Stella Street will do it.
You?
Nope.
Oh, like Paul Rudd? Or
nope.
Stone Street?
Rex.
We're out of time.